Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Lewis Sung. I am joined by Chris Early, otherwise known as Duke. I believe Eric Weidecke will be joining us a little bit later on during the show. And so we will have plenty to talk about with him, as well as you and me, sir. We have Tyreek Hill. We have Jalen Waddle. We have Tua Tagovailoa. We have the big three as far as the Miami Dolphins offense is concerned. And everybody has something different to say as mandatory minicamp opens up. So we're going to get into all that. But first, just checking in with you after a week. How are you doing today, sir?
Not too bad.
Not too bad? Everything good?
At my age, you're just hanging in there.
Herman, I like to think that there's more to live for. You got everybody in your family's good. Everything's wonderful. Yes?
Yeah, it's summertime, so school's over and stuff to do. So I stay busy all the time. That's just how it is.
Yep. And so the Miami Dolphins are also staying busy now as well. Again, mandatory minicamp has officially opened up and everybody had something to say at the podium. We heard from Jalen Waddle. We heard from Tyreek Hill. We heard from Tua Tagovailoa. We heard from Mike Daniel. We've heard from pretty much everybody. And now I'm going to go ahead and bring in Eric Weidecke and Alfredo Arteaga, who is joining us as well. Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
Great.
Doing well. How about yourselves?
I'm doing all right. You, sir, you're in uniform. Are you trying to get away with this at work again?
I am indeed. I am getting away with this at work.
His shirt says sleep expert.
Please do not get in trouble on our behalf, sir.
I won't. Don't worry about it.
All right. We're going to get into this. Let's go ahead and just jump right in. Before we get started, though, as always, we have to mention that this show is brought to you by our good friends over at PrizePicks.com. PrizePicks.com is the revolutionary fantasy platform where you can pick up to 6 different players across professional sports leagues, whether that's the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, the WNBA, or if you want to even go into Counter-Strike, you can do that too. They have pretty much everything you could ask for. All you have to do is just choose whether your chosen player will get more or less than their projected stat. So, and today happens to be Taco Tuesday, as we are recording this. So there are discounted props all over the place for you to check out. So make sure you use the promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. And once again, it is now legal in South Florida all over again. It was legal before, then it wasn't legal, and now it is legal again thanks to PrizePicks' new arena mode. So once again, use the promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. And of course, we also have jerseys305.com. They are also a new sponsor here at the 5 Reasons Sports Network. So I'm going to go ahead and play the video and let you guys hear from Ethan Skolnick, the head of the network.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for the 5 Reasons Sports Network. We've got a great new sponsor that fits with us perfectly. It's called jerseys305.com. That's jerseys305.com. This is your home for dead stock and vintage jerseys from the Heat, Panthers, Dolphins, Marlins, and the other local teams. Their mission was born from a passion for wearing jerseys of the old styles and the past players. Jerseys 305 aims to make every fan stand out from the crowd with unique pieces that you don't commonly see anymore. Maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, but not today. And Jerseys 305 was created by the fans, for the fans. They're diehards just like you. In fact, they're probably listening to this episode right now. So check them out. Jerseys 305, their partnership with 5 Reasons Sports, celebrating with a 10% discount on the next purchase using the code 5 at checkout. Unlock your exclusive savings on the entire vintage collection.
And again, that's 10% off, and you go to jerseys305.com, get yourself a classic jersey. One day, Tyreek Hill is going to be a classic jersey for the Miami Dolphins. I truly believe that. So let's go ahead, and we'll get into all the discussion that happened today. I'm going to go ahead and start with Tyreek Hill. We'll get into the Tua stuff later. I know that's what everybody's here for, but I want to save that for last. So Tyreek Hill went onto the podium, and mind you, this is in the aftermath of his, I believe his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, was speaking with Josh Moser of WSFN, and they were based as WS... I get them all confused. Is WSVN, yes. That's right. WSFN is the Channel 33 people. But anyway, WSVN, Josh Moser, the sports anchor there, had an interview with Drew Rosenhaus, and seeing all the contracts that are being that were being signed, you had A.J. Brown signing an extension. You obviously have Justin Jefferson signing his big, massive deal that makes him the highest-paid wide receiver in the NFL. There are other players that are getting ready to get paid. Jamar Chase is waiting for his deal now. You got CeeDee Lamb, who's waiting for his deal now. And now here you see Jaylen Waddle, who right now, our homegrown talent, he got himself a nice juicy 3-year extension, and that's gonna kick in after this season because we are on the 5th-year option right now. So with that in mind, Tyreek Hill, who once upon a time was one of the most highly paid wide receiver on the market, now he's looking at these contracts and saying, you know what, I think I deserve a little bit more. And I wrote an article today on 5 Reasons Sports Network. I know I wrote, I haven't written in like 2 years, but in any case, I wrote an article today, and there are shades of the Xavier Howard situation from back in 2019. There are some differences, and I'll highlight them in a moment, but back in 2019, Xavier Howard signed a contract with the Miami Dolphins that made him the highest paid cornerback in NFL history. And then he played through 2020, and in 2021, he got grouchy. Because he was basically feeling he was underpaid because other players, like his comparatives, his peers, had signed contracts that were bigger than his. And he couldn't let that stand. He was very upset about that. So he started requesting trades. He was not happy. He made it a point to say he wasn't happy. And so eventually Miami went ahead and they adjusted his contract and made him the highest paid cornerback a second time. Mind you, again, I hated the concept at the beginning. And to some extent, I'm still not a big fan of the practice. You just signed your contract and already you're grouchy because somebody else ended up making more than you. That's like, that would be saying somebody makes more than Patrick Mahomes, just like $1 more than Mahomes. And he starts getting, no, I'm the best. You need to pay me an extra $2. That's the sort of stuff that I don't like. But regardless, now here's the difference between Tyreek Hill and Xavier Howard. In Xavier Howard's case, we all felt as Miami Dolphins fans, and I believe we were correct in thinking this, Xavier Howard was a top 10 NFL cornerback. He was one of the best at what he did. He was a turnover machine. He deserved the money that ultimately he got because, again, he was a top tier talent when he's healthy. That's his biggest issue right now. That's why he's not with a team. He's not healthy. But the issue with Xavier Howard is that he was a corner with and he's a big part of the defense. But he wasn't the piece, if that makes sense. Now, here we have Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, he does things that no one else can do. We've all said as such, Tyreek Hill is faster than almost everybody in the entire NFL. And if you ask him, I'm sure he'll say he's the fastest. He's more agile. He's more elusive. He has the ability to do things that no one else does. Even as we were here on this show clamoring for Xavier Worthy, and how fast he was running in a straight line. Alf, you alluded to this during the draft. A lot of other people agreed. As fast as Xavier Worthy is running in a straight line, beating the 40-yard dash record, he still is not as – he doesn't turn as quick. He's not as twitchy as Tyreek. There's no replacing that. So, and not only that, Mike McDaniel at the podium today made it a point to say how important Tyreek is to his coaching career, his offense, just the team as a whole, as a leader. Tyreek is in – it's Tua and Tyreek. Those two together are the Miami Dolphins offense, for lack of a better term. There are other pieces. Jaylen Waddle is proof positive. But he and Tua and Tyreek are it, man. And you can't replace what Tyreek does, even with someone like Jaylen Waddle. So for him to come out now and say that he wants a little bit more money, there are a lot of people saying that it's time to move on from Tyreek. His salary cap's going to be too much. I do not share that opinion. I think that as long as Tyreek is moving the way he's moving, you keep him around because that's something that you have to look far and wide to try to replace that skill set. So if I'm Miami, I make Tyreek happy. And I think that ultimately that's what they will do. Mike McDaniel seems to be alluding as such in his press conference. So I am the one who's going to be saying right now for the record, and I know that The narrative have shifted, says Cap for Life. According to who? I'm not sure what narrative we're talking about here. But anyway, I'm somebody who believes, I know I have friends that have been on the show who disagree with me. But I think that as long as Tyreek is moving as fast as he is, and even if he goes a little bit slower, like even if he's a little slower, he's still going to be faster than most of the wide receivers in the NFL. So I'm of the opinion that as long as Tyreek wants to play, unless something drastic happens, you keep him around because he's just too important to this offense and what Tua and McDaniel want to do. Gentlemen, I leave the floor open to you guys. Whoever wants to go first, feel free to speak up and you guys can talk about it.
Well, I can tell you this. If you look at his contract and you look at his cap charge for 2025, he has a potential out after 2025. They're not going to pay him the money that is being charged that season. You could play with those 2 years, okay, and give him an extension to 2026, and that would be just fine. Those are just void years at the end of his contract that made his contract actually kind of phony baloney, okay? This is really the first year that he's actually going to get a lot of money from the Miami Dolphins, a $31 million cap hit. So what you do is you make him happy, you tear up those last 2 years. He has no guaranteed money in 2025, none, and that's the issue. Okay, he wants some guarantees. He wants to at least reach the money that he was promised originally, which was 4 years, $120 million. Okay, so to do that, you got to do some type of extension that's going to pay him and guarantee him somewhere near $50 million over two seasons. So you're talking about 2025 and 2026. You could do something like that, but anything beyond 2026 is just impossible. And it's impossible because of the other contracts that are coming up. Remember that when Tua signs his extension, and he's going to get his extension, and those of you out there that want to keep arguing about, you know, putting him on the fifth year option and then giving him some kind of, you know, 1 year, you know, franchise tag. First of all, you're wrong. You can't do that. Dolphins do not have that money to just hand out and basically block off $42 million on their salary cap for 2025. They can't do it. It's not possible. So you need to do an extension. When you do that extension, you could keep his number down for the first 3 years of his contract. And then it's going to gradually start ballooning up unless what you're banking on is a very, very long career. You're banking on a 10, 12-year career where you could just keep revisiting the contract and kicking the can down the road until you have that one season where you just can't kick the can down the road any further. If you do that, then you could probably work with Tyreek for 2025 and 2026. What will it cost you? It'll probably cost you Bradley Chubb. And that's just the name of the game. But you did draft 1,000 pass rushers this past season. So it stands to reason that you should be okay in that department going forward. But that is the name of the game. That is what will happen. You're going to have to sacrifice somebody. They're already sacrificing Teron Armstead at the end of the season to pay Jaylen Waddle. Okay? Tua's number will come up due in about 3 years. You could keep his number down for 3 years. Once those 3 years are up, you can't keep it down no more, which means you can't pay Tyreek those wages. You just can't. So I agree with you. Work with him and try to get something done for 2025 and 2026 if you can. At the very least, try to get something done for 2025. Give him some more guarantees so at least he's happy in the near term.
Duke, let's hear
it. Yeah, I think.
Oh, go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, they have no choice but to make Tyreek Hill happy, at least this season, because you're looking at a guy who's just, and I understand that the depth behind him is probably better than it's been since he's been here in Miami, but he's just way too pivotal to your offense to risk going into a season with a disgruntled Tyreek, especially if you, and this is considered part of their window to compete and really, really go for try to win the AFC East they have aspirations for this year. Obviously, they want to go further into the playoffs. You need Tyreek Hill, and you need Tyreek Hill in a good headspace to do that in this offense. It's just the way that it goes. So I don't really see any other option but doing something to make Tyreek Hill happy. I like the idea of doing something in the short term with his guarantees. Obviously, you go past 2020, you go past a certain point and you just can't do it anymore, which I think is fine. I think kind of you know, it's kind of something that goes unsaid that, you know, we really don't expect Tyreek Hill to be on the roster, you know, maybe past 2025, 2026. Just, you know, I think that's just common sense at this point. As far as Bradley Chubb being the guy that you have to sacrifice, I think that's already kind of built into the calculus here, especially when you look at the selections of Chop Robinson and Mo Kamara. And I understand that, you know, the injuries that they have at the edge position, but it's also just convenient for them that it also happens to kind of supplement a potential loss of Bradley Chubb over the next, you know, couple years, because, you know, at some point the bill does come due. You have to sacrifice guys, and he just kind of seems like that natural fit at this point. But the answer here is you make Tyreek happy, you give him the guarantees, you do what you have to do, because there's just no other alternative if you want to compete this season and you want to compete in 2025. Like you need an engaged Tyreek Hill for that.
I will say this briefly before I let Duke chime in. Tyreek did not give the impression that he was upset or frustrated. Tua gave more of that impression, and we'll talk about Tua later. I know we will, because Cat for Life is screaming about it in the chat. I'll get to you, man. I will get to you. But in any case, as far as Tyreek is, he also was quoted as saying that being greedy doesn't help the team, and he wants to do everything he can to help the team. So with that being said, of course he wants his money, but he's not giving the impression that he's going to start going ballistic if he doesn't get the extension right here, right now. So Miami, Tyreek has been good to Miami. Tyreek has been good in Miami for the most part. Again, I know he's a trouble magnet, but that just comes with the territory with him. So I'm going to go ahead and let Duke chime in now. Duke, Tyreek isn't really giving the impression he's pissed off, but what's your stance on the whole keep him or dump him situation at this point?
Oh, you've got to keep Tyreek Hill. I mean, you can't get rid of a talent like that. And I mean, unless he just starts falling off, which I don't foresee happening. But one thing I do want to mention, as you said, Jalen Waddle is not currently on the fifth-year option. This is the final year of his rookie deal. So his contract doesn't start until next year. So he gets his extension. So basically, we've got four more years of Jalen Waddle, looking at his contract from over the cap. Four more years. We've got 25, 26, 27, 28. So they the fifth year option starts next year, and they've worked around that. Sorry, my computer's acting up. I was also looking at the Tyreek Hill contract. I think the big thing is all of Tyreek Hill's money next year is in the form of base salary, which is why his cap numbers are so high. So I think what the thing for him would be is, again, is you give him some, you move some of that money around in the form of guarantees. You move it around where he actually gets cash now, and then you can work with the books after the fact. So he, according to Spotrac, however you say it, he's got three more years left on the deal, counting 2024. So you really don't want to redo the deal now, but you can rework the deal to where he's getting money in hand, and then you can play with the cap later. And then maybe in 2025, if he's still playing at the level he's playing at, and mind you that he has set the he is first and second in terms of yards in a season for a Miami receiver. So he's playing very well. He's never had that many yards in a single season in his career. He would have gotten 2,000 last year had he not been hurt. So can he still get something like that now? Absolutely. He's playing at that level, and I don't think he's slowing down. I think he played hurt last year, and I think we kind of noticed that. But I do believe that unless he does something off the field that is just reprehensible, you don't get rid of him. And so he is a key piece of your offense, and you need to keep him around, especially with the fact that you've still got him under contract. So you've got some ways you can maneuver to where you don't just have to like tear that contract up and give him a brand new deal. You can give him some money now, and then play with the cap stuff a little bit later.
All right, so we're in the consensus that there's no way that Miami can move on from Tyreek, at least not yet. We need more Tyreek time.
Not talent wise. Like I said, if he, you know, if he gets arrested for killing somebody or something.
Okay, but that's different. If that happens, you cut him on the spot.
Hold on. If he gets arrested for killing somebody, is he going to be at least out on bail for the season? Or
oh my god,
yeah,
Alf.
Yeah. But you see what I'm saying. I mean, if it's a situation,
as long as he's out on bail, he can play. Okay, that's all I'm saying. If he's in prison, can we get him some type of work furlough so he could leave prison on Sundays?
Yeah, Alf, you're going to get me in trouble, man.
There are players that can kill people, and there are players that cannot kill people. Tyreek Hill is one of those people that can kill people.
There have been allegedly many, a handful that I can remember in my lifetime. Just saying. Allegedly.
Are we talking about Ray Lewis?
No, I'm talking, well, not specifically. I'm talking about another tremendous wide receiver as well, who caught passes from a certain quarterback in Indianapolis. But I'll leave that at that.
Okay, we'll leave it be. He's asking, we do have the all orange jerseys. Oh God, that's so bad. We've gone off the rails. Okay, yes. So basically, as long as Tyreek doesn't get arrested for some horrible crime, we want him around for the foreseeable future. Yes?
Yes.
Oh, of course.
All right, perfect.
Of course. Okay.
So with that settled, so I guess now we'll go briefly into the Jalen Waddle. So obviously, Jalen Waddle signed a 3-year, over $80 million extension. So his fifth-year option is still going to be playing out this year, and then the extension kicks in starting next year. No question, he's earned it. This guy has been a fantastic receiver. I know there's a stat. I don't remember the exact details of it, but it has something to do with 1,000-yard seasons. For the first 2 years of his career? Is that the stat, Alf?
Yeah, he's the first. Jalen Waddle is the first wide receiver in Miami Dolphins history to have 3 1,000-yard seasons to start his career. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay, so that was
the stat. He is the first.
So that puts him above and beyond, obviously, a lot of other players that we've had in the past. We love the Mark brothers, no question about it. Not taking anything away from them. We've had some terrific wide receivers come in here, and one of which, of course, is Tyreek. But Jalen Waddle, homegrown talent, and he has done a phenomenal job while he's been here, and he's earned his money. And again, he also has a strong rapport with Tua. So keeping him around, along with Tyreek, is crucial to the offense's success. The offense runs through that trio, Tua, Tyreek, and Waddle. You need all three guys, at least for the foreseeable future. Alf, you've alluded to it. Eventually, we're going to have to say goodbye to Tyreek. Don't know when that's going to be. I'm sure they'll hold off until the last possible moment. They might even be willing to make concessions elsewhere if it means they keep their number one weapon if he's had full strength after all these years. Now, we'll see what happens with that. But as far as I'm concerned, Jalen Waddle, he's earned it. And I believe you alluded, Alf, he's going to earn every penny of that. And so if that is the case, I'm not even a little bit upset about it. Some people were saying that he's overpaid because he's a second wide receiver. He's only a second wide receiver because Tyreek is here. He was number one until Tyreek got here, and he did well. And he continues to do well, even when Tyreek is not playing. Jalen Waddle is a stud. Kudos to Chris Greer for finding him. Kudos for him realizing what it was that Tua needed. Because as good as Devonta Smith is for the Eagles, and I personally, like even for me, I was thinking along the terms of, oh, I want route running. I want the elite route runner in Devonta Smith. That's what he does best. He has a great catch radius. He's able to catch it from any angle. Chris Greer picked the right move in picking Jalen Waddle, because Waddle, just that raw speed, man, it does so well with what Tua does. Tua will find you. Just beat everybody else with your raw speed. That's what Jalen Waddle does best more than anything else. Not to say that that's all he has, but that's what he does best. So kudos to Chris Greer for getting a terrific deal on par with what Devonta Smith was getting. They didn't reset the market with Jalen Waddle. They basically got him the Devonta Smith contract, for lack of a better term, if we're going to use a comparison. So any brief thoughts on Jalen Waddle, gentlemen, before we get into the real topic of the evening, which Cap for Life still has not stopped commenting about?
Well, Jalen Waddle, you know, he has to take the next step. He's a great player, okay? And he's had a great start to his career here. Last year he had some injuries, and he still had a productive season. But he has to take the next step. He has to work on his game and elevate his game a further step this year. And he's one of the good ones, man. Like, he really does care about his craft. He works very, very hard all offseason. I have no doubt he's going to improve upon his game for this coming year. This is not a guy that takes years off. He just does not. He works. He cares.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, considering the fact that the money doesn't really come into play for another couple of seasons, and you look at what that contract is really going to look like at that point in time, especially after in a post-Justin Jefferson world with his extension, Jalen Waddle's deal will continue to look better and better by the day, by the minute, by the second. I have no qualms with that deal. I think it's a fantastic deal for the Dolphins and for Jalen Waddle, obviously, getting his money.
Duke? You're muted, sir.
Yeah, I have seen it suggested in places that, you know, the Dolphins should have looked to trade Jalen Waddle and get a first-round pick for him. But every time I see that, my first thought is that Family Guy skit where Peter goes to that that resort or whatever, here's the talk, and then get a free boat or the mystery box. And he says, yeah, that's just a boat, but we could get the mystery box. It could even be a boat. It's like that. That's the whole thing. When you've got the boat, don't go for the mystery box. So, yeah, if Miami didn't keep him and they traded him or let him walk or whatever and got whatever, you're not necessarily going to guarantee to get another player as good as him. So, yeah, like Eric said, the contract's good. It's a win for Miami here.
Yeah, like that's like a skit that I saw once where the guy wins a game show and they tell him you could pick from one of two showcases, and in one showcase it's $1 million cash, a boat, a house, and a car. And the other one is a 10-foot by 10-foot vault. And the guy's like, wow, $1 million, a mansion, a boat, and a car. But that's a 10-foot by 10-foot vault. There could be billions of dollars in there.
That's the that's the Homer Simpson meme.
Yeah, and it ended up being a vacuum cleaner or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And the skit was that when the guy said, "Oh, you know what? I got to take the vault." When he took the vault, he goes, "Oh, you know, here's the combination. Since you own the vault," he opens it and there's nothing in it. He won the vault.
You won the vault. Congratulations.
You own a vault that weighs 50,000 pounds.
Yeah. It's like the old saying, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. So you've got the bird in hand. Don't worry about the bush.
All right. So let's get into the meat. We're going to spend the rest of the evening on this. I know we are. The meat and potatoes. I have so many comments. I cannot even highlight them all from Cap for Life. He is loving this salty Tua stuff. He feels justified in all the comments that he's made before. I'm just going to say this. If you watch the press conference that Tua did with the media, you could tell he was frustrated. I feel like the frustration was more with the fact that he had to talk about it at all. He's never been one to talk about his personal life. We've known that for a long time. Tua is not somebody who likes to talk about what's going on in his personal life. He'll talk to you all day about what's going on the field. He'll talk to you about his game plan. He'll talk to you about his training. He has no issues with any of that. When his personal life is concerned, which it would be his contract, that's when he gets frustrated. He used the word antsy. Now, does that mean that that's the actual word? Maybe he is frustrated and he's just trying to clean it up for the media. Maybe. Who wouldn't be frustrated? I'm not coming out here and I'm not going to come out here and say that Tua has no right to be frustrated. Of course, he has a right to be frustrated. And even though he's still attending minicamp, it's not like he's not doing anything. He is doing some 7-on-7s. He is doing some of the practicing. He's not doing all of it. And at least, but you know what? we've seen a lot worse as far as holdouts go. We've seen people just refuse to do anything. Tua's holdout, so to speak, is very tame. And there is no holdout. But he's holding out of 11 on 11.
Yeah, but nobody's doing 11 on 11. Jalen Ramsey's not going to be doing 11 on 11. Odell Beckham is not lined up in 11 on 11. They took Tyreek Hill's helmet away for 11 on 11. Jalen Waddle did not participate in 11 on 11. Why do you want them in 11 on 11 in minicamp? Minicamp is just to install the offense and the defense. That's what it's for. The 11 on 11 is essentially useless. And to be quite honest with you, 7 on 7 is also useless. But, you know, he's participating in it because, you know, he wants to get some throws in. But minicamp is essentially useless. All the field stuff for minicamp is absolutely useless. What is important and what is interesting, they won't let us see it. It's in the classroom because now is when they're installing the offense. So that way when they get in for training camp, they actually know what they're running. So the important stuff is the stuff that we don't get to see and we know nothing about right now, which is all the install stuff. And all that install stuff, we won't know about the defense. I've seen some people speculate, oh, they're going to run this defense, they're going to run that defense. None of us know. None of us. None of us know what the defensive system actually is until we get to training camp and we see them line up in installs, which we do see them outside. And even then, you know, the NFL has its rules where they don't allow us to report all of that.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
You could just say, look, it's a lot like what the Ravens ran last year. Or we could say, oh, it's like what Seattle ran or whatever. But none of this stuff is important. None of it. And there is no holdout. Like I said before today on Twitter, there's only one real deadline here, and that's training camp. If training camp comes and he doesn't have a deal, then okay. Then we could start talking about this and start asking questions. Why is it not done? But until then, forget it. And last I check, it's June the 4th right now. So we are damn near almost 2 months away before it mattering.
Right. And training camp would be the deadline as far as the new extension. And that's been the projection from day one. Like we're seeing all these contracts coming out, but even from the beginning, Alf, we were talking about training camp is when it was going to happen. We weren't talking about it during OTAs. We weren't talking about it during mini camp. It was always, the timeline was always supposed to be training camp. And I'll quote Tua exactly here. The question was asked of him, and this is how it was quoted in according to the Miami Dolphins official transcripts. The question was, how concerned are you with your contract situation, and have you observed other quarterbacks around the league as they've gotten paid? He says, and I quote, I mean, I'm not blind to people that are in my position that are getting paid. Am I concerned about it? I'm not concerned about it, but there's a lot of discussion that we've had that we are trying to move that thing into the right direction, or we can both be happy. And another question was asked, did you think there'd be more progress at this point? So this is the accusation right now, is that the Dolphins are holding firm and they're refusing to give Tua any of the money that he wants. They're just going to put him out of money and either take it or leave it. That's not what's going on here. I refuse to believe that they're just hard putting their feet in the sand and saying, we are not going to budge from this line. So the official quote from Tua, from the question, did you think there'd be more progress at this point? Tua responded, I think there's been a lot of progress at this point from where we started, there's been a lot of progress. Now, you can ask the other question, then why aren't we seeing an agreement? Well, that's the tough part about it. That's why it's business. That's why you've got one side and the other trying to work to meet in the middle. This is the same thing we said during the How Much is Tua Worth show. The question was, how much do we believe that Tua is worth? And we gave our thoughts. We talked about what the market is. We talked about what he could potentially get and how we could work around it. It's never the first negotiation. Negotiations take time. And when you are a quarterback, especially now, again, it's a bloated market. Miami doesn't have all the money in the world, so you have to be careful about how it's structured. And with all that in mind, you have to figure out, okay, what are we going to give to Tua? They are going to bring this to all the way to training camp, probably, like Alf is mentioning, like everybody else is mentioning. It's going to wait that long. They're going to haggle. They're going to go back and forth. I've actually been, you know what I've been watching a lot of recently, guys? Just, I have a Discovery Plus subscription. I've been watching Pawn Stars, right? This is the back and forth. Here comes the customer, which in this case would be Tua. Tua has a specific number. He wants this much money. And then here comes Rick, who's the star of the show. This is Chris Greer. I'll give you this much. And then they go back and forth a few times, and they discuss, they go over their points as to why they think they deserve this much. And eventually, 9 times out of 10, they will meet in the middle, and the deal will be done, and everybody goes home feeling satisfied. Maybe Tua won't get as much as he was hoping. Or maybe Chris Greer has to give up more money than he was wanting to do. Either way,
I think this is about structure. I think Tua is getting every single penny he's asking for. And you heard it here first. And you could quote me on this. Okay. You could say Alf Arteaga on June 4th, 2024, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, said Tua will get every single penny he asked for. It's about structure. And they're probably going back and forth on the structure of the deal and where payments are made. It's a lot of money. Okay. So, you know, I'm pretty sure that Chris Greer is sitting there with Brandon Shore and telling him, okay, how do we get Holland done? Well, we're going to have to do this, this, and that. Well, we do this, this, and that, then we can't do this, this, and the other thing with Tua. So they got to coordinate that. So that's why it made perfect sense that Waddle had to go in first. They're going to have to fit every one of these contracts around Tua's first three years, okay, past the fifth-year option. So you're talking about 2025, 2026, 2027. All of those years, they're compromised. Whatever Tua's deal is, that's going to be the money that's going to be available to them for those 3 years to make deals going forward. And they got two guys that they got to deal with. And they might have another one coming up here soon. Because people think, oh, it's only Holland and then Phillips that you got to extend. There's a couple more. You want to keep David Long past this year? That's important. Okay? He's another one that you're going to have to work out. Jalen Ramsey is a big one. He doesn't have much more money after this coming season. So you're going to have, and he's an extension candidate. He's different. Him, you actually have to give more money to. Then you have the Tyreek Hill thing. You see everything I'm getting at? It's so much. So it has to do with that structure. I think that's the important thing. They're trying to figure out the structure of Tua's deal, whether it's going to be a larger first-year number or really small numbers for the first 3 years, which is my bet. I think it's going to be a lot very similar to Jalen Hurts' contract. I think that's going to be the structure they're going to go with.
And I feel like a lot of that is going to have to come down to what Cam Smith ultimately develops into, because Jalen Ramsey is a Swiss Army knife and that can't easily be replaced. But, and I know there's always a but, if they can't squeeze it in, if you could somehow convince Kendall Fuller to stick around and Cam Smith develops, you could still have two very good boundary corners. But again, that's an if with Cam Smith. We don't know what he is yet.
Ramsey's going to be here long term. He's not an either-or guy. They're going to convert him to a safety. If Cam Smith develops into the perimeter corner that they think he's going to develop into, Jalen Ramsey will eventually be a safety here. And I expect Jalen Ramsey to play in the slot this year. I expect him to be the nickelback. And I expect Cam Smith to play a lot this year. I think you're going to – their main alignment in 4-2-5 or a nickel – will be with Cam Smith and Fuller on the outside and Ramsey in nickel. That's going to be their main alignment this year.
So we're going to get a chance to see that, and I'm very excited.
Eric, and it makes perfect sense. And that was the issue last year. I hate to interrupt again, but that was the issue last year with Vic Fangio. And Chris Greer is very good about that. I wouldn't be, okay? If I was the general manager and I made a trade for Jalen Ramsey and I'm paying him $23 million a year, I want him used everywhere. And I will tell Vic in week 9 or 10, when it was evident that he was only going to use him on one side of the field, I would have told him, look, Vic, I'm paying him $23 million a year. Use him everywhere. And if he says no, I would have fired him on the spot. It's as simple as that. I'm the general manager. I'm paying him $23 million a year. You're going to play him, period. And it seems like that's where they're going to do this year with Anthony Weaver. But they were very, very good soldiers about that last year with Vic Fangio. I wouldn't have been.
Yeah, I'm not really all that concerned as far as Jalen Ramsey. But Eric, you've been listening in on everything that's been talked about, all the factors going into it. You've heard Tua's comments. I don't know if you managed to actually watch the press conference where he actually talked.
I did.
Okay, so you saw it. Yeah. So your overall thoughts here, because I know I'm sure you've been reading the comments as Cap for Life has been going ballistic in the chat, and again, all these things going into it. Your overall thoughts on this whole concept right now.
I mean, I would describe Tua right now as mildly perturbed, you know, maybe a little anxious. This idea that he's, you know, some malcontent right now is absurd. I'm sure, you know, any player wants that kind of clarity on their future as to, you know, not only their financial security, but, you know, just the idea of knowing, okay, I'm past this, I'm beyond this, I don't have to answer questions about it anymore. Every player wants that for themselves. And Tua's no different in that regard. With that being said, you know, like Alf mentioned, there's a lot of plates that are being spun in that Dolphins front office right now. And ultimately, a deal will get done with Tua. It is just a matter of structure and how they're able to kind of fit him in and weave him into the tapestry of the salary cap. Tua will be the Dolphins quarterback for the long term here, barring some sort of crazy injury. No, he's not going to hold out if worse comes to worse, but it's not going to come to that point. Tua is a very polarizing player. He gets talked about a lot, and so it's no surprise to me that these negotiations are being covered in the way that they are. But to me, this just feels like standard practice in the NFL with teams and franchise quarterbacks in terms of how these negotiations tend to go. I'm not sitting here sweating it. I don't think Tua is, you know, I don't think that the relationship is like irreparably damaged or anything like that, or that these are even really especially contentious negotiations. You know, I just think both sides are just anxious to get the deal done. And I'm confident that within the next month or two, at some point before the season rolls around, Tua will have a new deal. And I think it'll ultimately be one that is good for both sides.
Duke, your thoughts?
Well, those two guys covered pretty much everything I was going to say. That was good work. I agree with Alf. I think it's all about the structure. I don't think it's about the dollars. And I agree with Eric. I don't think there's any issue as far as between the two of them. I think they're both in good shape. One thing that I have seen people discuss, and I know it's come up, is they talk about, like, well, we need to, you know, you need to build a team around a rookie contract and all that kind of stuff. So I just, because I'm that type of nerd, I got to look into it. There are 13 quarterbacks currently in the NFL with an average annual salary of $40 million or more. Two of them have won a Super Bowl. Three of them have been to a Super Bowl. The rest have made the playoffs, but that's about it. There are four more quarterbacks that are $25 million or higher, and the only one of them that has been to a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl is Aaron Rodgers. So the two quarterbacks that are making that much money that have won are Patrick Mahomes and Matthew Stafford. So mean, you look at the list of these top quarterbacks, and they're all making this money, and they're not all going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, at some point, you just have to say, is this guy going to give us the best chance to win? And I think Tua does give us the best chance to win. Now, what you don't want to happen is, you know, I know there's probably some injury concern. He stayed healthy all of last year, and he still gets that question about, hey, you've lost some weight. You know, what are you, you know, all that stuff, which to me is, that's more annoying than the contract stuff if I were Tua. But the issue is he going to be good enough to just be just to get you to the playoffs, or is he going to take you a step higher? And I think he can go higher, but I don't think Miami is going to be in position anytime in the near future to be in the quarterback market unless something wild and crazy just truly happens. I don't think they're going to be bad enough to get a high enough draft pick. I don't foresee Skylar Thompson or Mike White pulling a Tom Brady and coming off the bench and becoming a franchise quarterback. So unless they find a Brock Purdy type as a late round dude that steps up and becomes the guy, Tua is your guy. So we've seen what he can do in this offense. We've seen what he can do. And we talked about this last week. This is the first time that he's had three consecutive years in the same offense since high school, probably since forever. So he's still growing and learning. And you got to realize the first couple of years he was there with Flores and didn't really have good offensive coaching around him. He had Chan Gailey the first year, had dual offensive coordinators the second year. So just a lot of mess there to have to sift through. And so he finally, you know, we can kind of look at it as like, well, Tua in 2022 kind of took that step to what we thought he could be when he was drafted. So I think we'll see an even better Tua year three. I think he's working on some things based on some things I've read, worked on some things that have been issues, I think, with in the past that he's done. So, yeah, I don't have anything to add as far as the contract. I think these guys covered it. He's going to get his money. It's going to be structured right. And, you know, it always goes back to that. It always goes back to that, you know, saying it's a good contract will be one that both parties are mad at. So the Dolphins will be mad. Tua will be mad. That's a good contract or a good compromise.
I hate that it can't be a positive way of doing it. It's like, no, we're both unhappy about it. It's like,
well, it's just nobody's going to get what they want out of the deal. I mean, the Dolphins are like, oh, yeah, we want to sign you to, you know, $40 million or something, which is probably not going to be the case. But then it's like, well, we want $60 million. And then they whittle their way down. He's like, well, I'll settle for 53. And the Dolphins will be like, well, I'll give you 53. And you know, that's how it comes to it. That's all that means. So sounds they're going like to get – yeah, they're going to get what they want. I think the Dolphins want it structured a certain way to protect them in the event that he doesn't stay healthy. But you know, he's going to be here. They're going to keep Hill. They're going to keep Waddle. Obviously, I think Jalen Phillips is the next kind of big contract. And if it weren't for the injury, that would be a guy that you'd absolutely want to re-sign. So I think they're going to kind of wait and see with him, but he'll be next. Holland will be next. You know, they've got a good core to build around. And, you know, it's funny that I was thinking about this earlier. People were talking about, I remember Jeff Ireland in the first set of Hard Knocks that the Dolphins were in, telling Peter King that we've got some fours and fives and sixes. We need some one, twos, and threes. And now Odell Beckham Jr. is our wide receiver three. So we have come a long way in the past 10 years or more. These are rich NFL people problems to have, that we've got so much talent that we need to – we don't know how we're going to pay them all. You know, I can remember days when it was like – it wasn't like that. And wasn't it, you know, I think Odell Beckham Jr. said he took less money to come here. I think a couple others said that they took less money to come here. So it's a place people want to come play now, and it's because of the coach, and it's because of Tua and the stuff that they're building. So it's a good time to be a Miami Dolphins fan.
Eric, I saw you on mute.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and it's a place where people actually want to play instead of using Miami as a leverage play like they did back in the day.
I use your phrase a lot. It's champagne problems.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at they're loaded at this point. So the fact that we're having this discussion about, okay, well, who gets extended next, means that you have players to extend, means that you've drafted well, means that you've developed your talent well. You know, so this is life as a contending team in the NFL. And I know that it's not something that you know, the fan base has really been used to over the last 15, 20 years. But this is kind of the cycle of what it's like when your team is good and it's competitive, and you've got to make these hard decisions where, okay, well, we can cut a little bit off here in order to kind of gain a little bit more in another area. So, I mean, like I said, just the fact that we're having this conversation is kind of, like you mentioned, proof positive that things have changed, you know, in Miami. And not that I think it's been pretty evident over the last year or two, but this is life as a contending team in the NFL, and I think that the fan base, it's something that they're gonna have to just kind of get adjusted to at this point.
Yeah, once upon a time, I was not able to watch a lot of contending football teams, so I was not used to the idea of just having too many good players. I was usually just thinking, okay, maybe we finally loaded up enough that we can maybe contend, and then everybody just kind of falls away after that. So this is a brand new experience for me too, I will admit that. Alf, I don't know if you have any information that you can or are allowed to say, or if you can just maybe speculate, because we keep talking about the structure of the deal that's holding it up. What kind of structure are we talking about that's holding it up? Is it just guarantees, or is there something more to it?
Well, I'm pretty sure it has a lot to do with the guarantees, but I think it's more to do with which money is paid up front, which is not, the cap charges for the first 3 or 4 years, the schedule of payments, stuff like that. I think that's what's important, and I think that's what they're probably working on right now.
So Tua is just trying to get paid more right away rather than having to hold off on it. That's the idea.
Not necessarily. I think it has to do with the payment schedule, you know, which is, you know, it's an odd thing, but it's, you know, it's something that they're going to have to square away. Like, that's just a fact. Like, they're going to have to square something like that away. It's really about, you know, how they're going to convert salary to cash in the deal. Remember, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars here. Not only are there cap considerations that's the Dolphins, but there are tax considerations for Tua. So we shall see. But I do believe something will happen. Like, something will get done.
Something will get done. I'm not concerned about whether it will get done or not. I'm just, again, Miami, I feel like, knows that there's no better alternatives right now beyond Tua. I mean, what are they going to do if it doesn't work out with Tua? You're going to throw Mike White out there? You're going to hope that Skylar Thompson has learned enough so he can run the show? You're going to pray that big-armed Gavin Hardison is going to become the next Brock Purdy? I just don't see it.
I mean, you're not looking at those guys. You'd be looking like, well, we're going to let Tua play the fifth-year option now, and then in 2025 we're going to draft a guy. That would be your strategy if you're not going to re-sign him. Or if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was an upgrade that you could, an upgraded veteran that you could acquire. So,
Aaron Andrews, by the way, to that point, Duke, Aaron Andrews said the alternative next year ain't better. Don't say Dak Prescott.
Well, I mean, maybe he's an option. Maybe somebody considers him an upgrade. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm going to use a little reductio ad absurdum here. Let's just say Patrick Mahomes says, you know what? I hate Kansas City. I want out of here. I'm out. I'm not playing for you. Another play. I want to go somewhere else. You get in on that sweepstakes, right? Everyone would. If you got a deal where, like, I know this guy is going to be better than Tua and he's going to be available and I can get him, you do that, right? But that's just not a thing that exists. I don't think there's a free agent out there that's going to be better. I don't think there's a veteran that you can acquire in a trade that's going to be better. And I don't think that you're going to look at it from a draft perspective, because you're going to be drafting in the 20s most likely, hopefully in the 30s. So You know, you're not getting that guy. So unless everything just completely falls apart and you get the first overall pick and there's a stud sitting there, that would be your route. So it's either pay Tua or you start the thing all over again.
Yeah, we got to pay Tua. All right, some last thoughts before we get ready to call it a night. In the chat, Ryan AP says, can't wait to see Jordan Brooks. When's the last time we had a good inside linebacker, Channing Crowder? I personally think Carlos Dansby was pretty good at what he did. So, and that's no disrespect to Channing. I love Channing. He's a great dude. But I don't know. Dansby was probably the last really good inside linebacker that we had that I can think of. Do you guys have any other names to throw out there?
That was a guy that I had in mind.
Dansby? Alf?
No, that's pretty much it.
I mean, I guess you could argue that for what he did and what his job was, Alandon Roberts was pretty good for Miami. But
those are just guys like, you know, all, you know, no offense to Channing Crowder, but he's not like, you know, those are just guys. Alandon Roberts. Those are just, you know, fill linebackers that did their job for a very, you know, for a good while, but they're not Jordan Brooks.
No.
Jordan Brooks is in that upper tier of linebackers that have been here, along with Jerome Baker, by the way. You know, I know some people had issues with Jerome Baker. I did not. He was really, really, really good. But Jordan Brooks he's going to be really, really good for this team.
And I agree.
And don't sleep on Anthony Walker, by the way. He's going to play some snaps and some sub packages. I think that's going to give them a really, really good group. Remember that last year, Duke Riley was essentially LB3 on this team. Now he's LB4 on this team, and he might be LB5 depending on what Tyndall does. So this team got better.
Yeah, and I agree with you about David Long. I think PFF had him as one of their top 30 inside linebackers or whatever for the season. So I thought he played really well. I thought the injury concerns that came from Tennessee never really reared their head. I think the only big deal he dealt with was when he got hit friendly fire. I think it was Javon Holland, and he was out for a little bit in the Philadelphia game. But he played the rest of the game, I believe, and played the rest of the season. So I think those two guys are going to be a really good inside linebacker combo for the Dolphins.
All right. So let's see. We'll go through some of Cap's comments. Jordan Love will set the market first. Do you think Jordan Love will sign his first?
No. Even if he does, he won't set the market. He'll get less money than Tua.
I don't know. Jordan Love.
Remember, Jordan Love just had a very good 9 games, okay?
And he's been, but before that, it was a completely unknown commodity because Aaron Rodgers was around. And even
Jordan Love is going to sign a smaller contract in the hopes that he repeats this past season and then signs a giant contract in 2 years. That's what's going to happen with Jordan Love. Jordan Love might sign something like a 2-year, $100 million contract, something like that, with a large guarantee, you know? And then in the hopes of in 2 years, he's going to sign a massive contract.
The thing with Love is a lot of people have that image in their heads of him just of Green Bay just playoffs. But obliterating the Cowboys secondary in the wild card round. But like Alf said, you know, he wasn't very good in the first half of the season. He wasn't very good. He was kind of an unknown commodity in his first 2 years. Although, you know, I think if you would have asked people in Green Bay or, you know, maybe the fans, not necessarily the people in the building, if Jordan Love was going to be the guy, I think that there was probably some trepidation there. And I think that there, you know, is still moderate or light trepidation. I think, you know, you look at Jordan Love and you say that he's likely the guy. There's a very good chance of it. But I still think Green Bay is looking for him to kind of show that he can be that guy consistently over the course of a 17 game season and into the postseason.
Yeah. And people, for whatever reason, treat Tua completely different than they treat all these other quarterbacks. While the Dolphins were losing to Tennessee on that Monday night. At the very same time, Jordan Love was melting down against the New York Giants. The New York Giants.
And that's they're not good. This is a reminder to everybody. So I will say this, though. Jordan Love, part of me almost wants him to fail just because I'm going to be so mad if Jordan Love ends up being good for the Packers for another 10 years, because that would mean that somehow, I don't know how, but Green Bay managed to have like almost half a, like half a, what's
a century?
Yeah, half a century of good quarterback play. Like I can't handle that. Like, I don't know. We're so many teams desperately struggling, looking for a good quarterback. And here Green Bay is just casually picking them off the tree. Like it's an apple. I don't get it, man.
Well, as far as their success, it doesn't bother me that bad if that happens. I mean, they had however many years of Favre, however many years of Aaron Rodgers, and those guys only had two Super Bowls.
Well, they have other issues, though, but their quarterback wasn't one of them.
But the Patriots, on the other hand, like, they need to suffer, okay? They do not – I mean, I hate it for Drake May, but I hope he sucks. I hope he's Mac Jones 2.0, just because they need to be. And I've thought about this. You know, people say QB purgatory, and I disagree, because my limited knowledge of what purgatory is isn't that that's a place you go and you can get out of, whereas hell, the other hand, is not. So they need to be in QB hell, which is they need to be an 8-9 team for the next 30 years. They don't need to be like 2-15. Where they can get another high draft pick. They need to be bad, but not too bad. Just good enough to where they can't get in that mix and they're drafting like guards every year. That's what they need to be. That is that's what I hope for New England.
That would be ideal.
By the way, Cap was saying that Jordan Love and Tua have the same agent. They don't. They have the same agency. Dave Muglietta is Jordan Love's agent. Austin Lyman is Tua's agent. It's the same agency, and what does that matter? Tua's going to get more money, trust me.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to end it here. Everybody, thank you all so much for listening. Once again, this show is going to be showing up on the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast feed probably around tomorrow. Make sure, by the way, all this good stuff that we're talking about here, we can have a lot more discussions just like that if you join OnlyFins. The link is in the description of this video, and again, the link is you just go to HTTPS, the
discord.gg/OnlyFans.
Yeah. I keep forgetting. I'm trying to remember the whole URL in my head, including all the dots and everything. I don't need to do that. Don't try so hard. discord.gg/OnlyFans. That's where you got to go. $3 a month. Best place to go and have Dolphins discussions. Once again, this show is brought to you by prizepicks.com. Use the promo code 5. That's FIVE. And they will match up to $100 on your initial deposit when you sign up. And of course, jerseys305.com. You go over there, you get 10% off your order when you buy one of their jerseys, a new vintage jersey that you can check out and you can wear it with pride. We will see you all next week. Got a lot more stuff to talk about. And go check out my article on 5 reasons if you haven't yet. We're going to be going back to writing now. Ooh, big things happening. All right. Good night, everybody.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.